Yamunatiravanachari. Yamunatiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopijana Balava Giribaradhari. Gopijana Balava Giribaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopijana Balava Giribaradhari. Gopijana Balava Giribaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parabhaja Pacharya Asto Tadasata Shri Sriman is Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsi Kaho Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mathura Dham Ki Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Gangamai Jamunamai ki, Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samveda Bhakta Vrinda ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Chutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Text Number 27. Tesham Dwarapam Kim Tu Anyam Martyanam Bhagavat Padam Bhuva Kalayata Kalayasho Ye Vai Nice Karmyam Sadayanti Uta Tesham Durapam Kim Twanyam Marchanam Bhagavat Padam Bhuvi Kalayatam Yeni Yevoy Kalayashu. Hard to read. Bhuvi Lokayusho Yevai. Nice Karmyam Sadayantyuta. Tesham Durapam Tam Twanyam. Marchanam Bhagavat Padam. Bhuvi Lokasyusho Yevai. Nice Karmyam Vadayantyuta. Tesham Durapam Kim Twanyam. Marchanam Bhagavat Padam. Bhuvi Loka Yisho Yevai. Nice Karmyam Sadayanchita. Tesham Durapam Kim Yanyan. Marchanam Bhagavat Padam. Bhuvi Lokayusho Yevai. Nice Karmyam Sadayanchita. Tesham Durapam Kim Anyan. Marchanam Bhagavat Padam. Bhuvi Lokayusho Yevai. Nice Karmyam Sadayanchita. Ladies. Tesham Durapam Kim Twanyam. Nachanam Bhagavat Padam. Bhuvi loka yusho ye vai. Naiskarmyam sadayantyuta. Tesham durapadatamyam. Marnyam bhagavat padam. Bhuvi loka yusho yo vai. Naiskarmyam tesham of them. Durapam, difficult to obtain. Kim, what? To, but. Anyat, anything else. Martyanam, of the human beings. Bhagavat Padam, kingdom of God. Bhuvi, in the world. Loka, flickering. Ayusha, span of life. Ye, those. Vai, certainly. Naiskarmyam, the path of liberation. Sadayanti, execute. Uta. Exactly. Purport. In this material world, every human being has a short span of life. But those who are engaged in devotional service go back home, back to Godhead. For they are actually on the path of liberation. For such persons, there is nothing which is not available. Report. In Bhagavad Gita 9:33, Lord Krishna says, Anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajash vamam. The Lord here declares that this material world is full of miseries, nice karma. Asukam, and it is the same time, it is very flickering, anicham. Therefore, one's only duty is to engage himself in devotional service. That is the best end in which human life can put. Those devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord achieve not only all material benefits, but also all spiritual benefits. For at the end of life, they'll go back home, back to Godhead. This destination is described in this verse as Bhagavat Padam. The word Padam means abode, and Bhagavat means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the destination of the devotees is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the word naishkarmyam, which means transcendental knowledge, is also significant. Unless one comes to the platform of transcendental knowledge and offers devotional service to the Lord, one is not perfect. Generally, the process of gyan, yoga, and karma are executed life after life before one gets the chance to render pure devotional service to the Lord. This chance is given by the grace of the pure devotee, and it is in this way only that one can actually attain liberation. In the context of this narration, the wives of the demigods repented because although they had the opportunity of birth in the higher planetary systems, a lifetime spanning millions of years and all material comforts, they were not as fortunate as Prithu Maharaj and his wife, who were actually surpassing them. In other words, Prithu Maharaj and his wife scorned promotion to the higher planetary systems and even to Brahmaloka, because the position which they were attaining is incomparable. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord affirms, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punar Avartino Jana Arjuna. From the highest planet to the in the material world to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. In other words, even if one goes to the higher planets, Brahmaloka, he has to return to the miseries of birth and death. In the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it says, Te tam bhuktva marcha lokam vishalam chine punye marcha lokam vishanti. When they have thus enjoyed heavenly sense pleasure, they return to the mortal planet again. Thus, after exhausting the results of pious activities, one has to come again to the lower planetary system and begin a new chapter of pious activities. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12, Naiskarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. The path of liberation is not at all secure unless one attains the devotional service of the Lord. Even if one is promoted in the impersonal Brahmajyoti, he runs every chance of falling down into the material world. If it is possible to fall down from the Brahmajyoti, which is beyond the higher planetary system in the material world, then what can be said of the ordinary yogis and karmis who can only be elevated to the higher planet material planets? Thus the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planet did not very much appreciate the results of karma, jnana, and yoga. Om jnana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chaksura militanyena tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manobistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarane Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorange, Radhe, Vrindavanishadi, Vishabhanu, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna, Prema, Pradayate, Krishnaya, Krishna, Chaitanya, Namani, Gora, Tushe, Namaha, Nama, Om, Vishnupadaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschacha Desa Tarane Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Tat Kripa Tamahambande Shigurundina Tarane Krishna Todiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Adyaiva Me Visitu Manasaraja Hansan Prana Pranama Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kantavaro Dhanavido Smaranam Kutaste. Okay, thank you for coming. I know it's Saturday morning, so time to sleep late, especially after chanting for 24 hours. Nowadays, people don't even believe in the heavenly planets, really, most people. They have a saying, and I heard it's in India also, YOLO, the youth, you only live once. Y-O-L-O, you only live once. So party, that's Charvak Muni. Do whatever you need to do, beg, borrow, or steal, get ghee, enjoy life, because you won't, next life, you're finished when life is over. So take advantage of every minute to have sense gratification. Now that, of course, the heavenly planet people, they didn't do that, they were pious. And to get to the heavenly planets, it's not like you just go to church on Sunday or you go to temple on Janmashtami or something and give your donation. You have to live a pure life. So pious, you know, intelligent people might aspire for heavenly planets. But mostly they have no idea what heavenly planets are. There's many movies, television shows about other planets, but they always show them not very nice, you know. All kinds of weird faces and, you know, evil people and maybe technologically very advanced or maybe a race of all cockroaches or something. And I remember one day in Tokyo, I was out for Harinam and shopping mall, and two movies had just started, Star Wars and Star Trek, you know, number 10 million, whichever one it was. And, you know, they're just super popular. But then in school, they teach you there's no life on any other planet, they're only here. And they show the thing on Mars, and maybe they found some water, you know, so there might be some kind of bacteria there. Basically, the human life we have here is the most advanced. And whoever has the most toys, the most technology, they're the most evolved. So they don't have any idea. So Prabhupada stresses over and over again the exclusive nature of devotional service. So people will think, you know, well, that's, you know, that's your thing that you're selling. And you just say that. But it's backed up by all the scriptures in so many places. You know, and by Krishna over and over again in the Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service. And for one who realizes this, then he'll engage in my service. Dridavrata, you know, with a great vow when he gets Yesham, Twantikatam Papam, Jananam Punya Karmanam, Te Dwanda Moha Nirmukta, Bhajanti Mam Dridavrataha. You hear sayings, at least in English, what goes up must come down. Right? Generally, that's, you go up in an airplane, okay, you can, it's, you know, people have to, they can't just enjoy riding an airplane very long. They have to have their movies and their games and their so many things and their drinks and food and so, but the airplane has to land. It's only up for a while. The astronaut also, they want to come back. Prabhupada tells how that first Russian, he was going around in the Sputnik, and he was looking down, and where is Moscow? You know, where is my Moscow? You know, he didn't care about the outer space because there's nothing there, you know, that they can see. But, so make your heaven on earth, you know. So they advertise like that. Heaven on earth, this hotel. You know, you can swim up to the bar. And they serve you whatever you want. That's heaven. And they have full internet, even though it's out in the jungle somewhere. So they don't have any idea what the heavenly planets are like. But they're very nice, materially. But they get an anxiety too. Or here, like the wives are feeling bad, you know, that this Archie is going to the spiritual world and they're stuck in the heavenly planets. And they can see down also. And then they get scared. Sometimes they see hell or they hear about it. They get scared they might have to go there. But basically, they're not growing old. They're not wearing out like we are and starting to think, when is death going to come, you know? When is it going to just not work anymore, you know, right? Now it's a little stiff, you know, but one day it's just going to not work, you know. I don't know if any of you knew Bhaktivedanta Swami. He had a very strong body. You know, and he'd jump and dance like anything, and his hands would run, you know. But when the last time I saw him, you know, the one arm wouldn't work at all, and one leg is cut off. He was laughing. He said, Krishna is taking away, you know, everything. He prayed like that, you know, take away whatever is holding me back. So, you know, but it's going to happen one way or another. We have to give up. We have to, it's not going to work anymore. We can't stay in this body. So if we're attached to serving Krishna, we can get a birth where there's good facility for serving Krishna. If we're very much attached, and Prabhupada is promising us again and again, and so is Krishna, we can go to Krishna's abode, but only by devotional service. That means, you know, humble state of mind, chanting the holy name in a humble state of mind, begging for service. The material world is such a place, and right? We're out in the faraway place, it's peaceful, and then these big machines are going by. One went by the other day, and it's a brand new one, JCB backhoe, you know, really big one. And it said Eco. And then I was behind it, and the blue smoke is coming out, you know. So I was thinking, you know, in order to build a sattvic place in the Kali Yuga, we have to use all these Ugra Karma things. Hopefully we can bring it to an end at some point. You know, if you want to accommodate a lot of people and you want to... I don't know how they built roads and everything before. You know, they have different theories how they built these gigantic buildings. And we were sitting in one room in Tirupati. And that's on top of a hill, you know. It took us 3 hours to walk up there. It's by walking, what is it? 9 kilometers or something. You know, 12 kilometers. The steps are marked, you know, 5,000. And I was looked up at the ceiling, which was pretty high. And there were these stone beams that were, you know, I don't know how, really long. And obviously really big, you know, because they were this wide. So they must be that, you know, how did they do that? And have any cranes, machines. Even in Japan, there's every city has a castle, you know, where the king used to live, and it's surrounded and protected by a moat. And so the one in Osaka, that's like the best one. And it has a moat, and then the stones up the side to get up to the castle from the water. There's like, I don't know, 15,000 stones or something. They're quite big also. And this was built in the 1700s. And then there's a wall up on top. And the one stone there is, so this is the biggest stone. It's like so many square meters, huge stone. And I saw it like this thick. And it's up on top of a hill there. And it's stuck vertically, you know, how they did this, right? That's only 500 years ago. Previously, they had much more power. They don't know. And we don't know what's buried underground that we haven't found yet. They find things, you know. They found in Mexico a pyramid. It's bigger than the biggest pyramid in Egypt. It was buried. Nobody had seen it. Nobody knows. We don't know what, you know. So we don't see the soul in everybody. We don't see Krishna behind everything. We might know theoretically, but we want to come to that point that we want to serve everything and everything, because Krishna is in everyone's heart. Krishna's, everything is coming from Krishna. When Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matak Sarvam, everything. And Prabhupada, when he translates, he says material and spiritual. You know, because it's not exactly in the Sanskrit, but everything means everything. So it comes from Krishna. Mayavadis have a different idea. They all preach the same way. Some become very popular. I heard one speaking on the Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti Mamuda. You know, those who, they, when I come in this human form, they deride me. They don't believe it's real. He said, those are the fools that Krishna says. This guy said, the fool thinks that Krishna is God. But actually, it's some other spirit up somewhere. And Krishna is just like the ventriloquist dummy. We have those in India. You know, the guy sits there like this, and this puppet is talking, and the sound is coming out from him. And the guy has some trick, you know. Right? It's not like that. It is Krishna. He says, as I am standing here in front of you, Arjuna, and you cannot see me, you know, Bhakti Mama Bijananti Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha. Nobody can see me except by devotional service, by love. Then Krishna will appear. He doesn't appear just by, you know, paying money, by demanding, I'm a big man, you know, right? Krishna, like sometimes people come to the temple in the afternoon, I want to see the gods, and they say, well, they're sleeping now, but I want to see them. You know, I'm a life member, you know. Excuse me, it's very difficult, right? I want to see them. No, I mean, Krishna comes when he wants to. And most people, even if they see the deity, they can't see that it's Krishna. There's one walk, I've mentioned this many times, but not here, but I was on a morning walk in the park in Los Angeles, and Karandra, who was a leader at the time, we didn't know he was having a lot of problems. And so he said, he was asking as if it's from other people. He said, Prabhupada, when we offer the bhoga to the deity, he doesn't really eat it, does he? And Prabhupada, sometimes if you listen in the morning, you hear that clicking cane, you know, and I see him eat. He said, I'm not a fool like you, you know, and then he was laughing, and it was quite like, you know, wow, you know. And but then he said, Krishna can eat in many different ways. He said he can eat just by seeing it. He can eat just by hearing your prayers. What? How is that? Angani yasya sakalindriya. So, and he can actually eat it and then put it back. It's still there. Or he can eat it and there's nothing left, but that doesn't happen very often. But it did happen to Sachimata, it happened to Raghunandana, you know, a few very advanced devotees. They come and the plates are emptied. Krishna really ate it. Because they really beg Krishna, please eat it. So we have to have faith. And we can see how much better. Lord Chaitanya asked, like, what's the difference? Why this Mahaprasadam is so wonderful, but we've all eaten rice and vegetables before, but it's not like this. And then they explained it's mixed with Krishna's saliva and all kinds of, you know, nectarine things. So Krishna's eating, he's seeing us dance, he's hearing us chant, everything. It's not a statue. So that we want to get full realization, you know. The deity's here to accept service. Krishna and the devotees are here to accept service and to serve Krishna. But we have to serve everybody, to serve all the devotees. Then we can, if we keep that up, you know, chanting the holy name with love and devotion, and then there's so many promises. Krishna will take us back. Might have to go take birth. You know, some people tell about that. Someone asked me a while back. They heard that you can't go directly back to the Goloka, but you have to go to another universe where Krishna is appearing. What's the difference? You know, if Krishna is there and you're going out to herd cows with him, or you're a cow or whatever. What's the difference between that and Goloka? When Gopakumar was going back and forth, he couldn't get it straight which was which, you know, but Gokula or Goloka. For him, there was no difference. We see the covering of Gokula, so it's a little hard sometimes, but to have faith, this is the Gokula, this is Goloka. It's not different. But that comes when Krishna will reveal himself when he wants to. So one has to be utsahan, enthusiastic, and then patient, perseverant. You have to keep going. It's going to be all kinds of ups and downs. What goes up must come down. And Krishna covers that. You know, te dwanda moha nirmukta, free from all dualities. The dualities are mentioned over and over again. Equal in happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, victory and defeat, fame and infamy, you know, all these different things, heat and cold. Equal. If you get up, don't get too excited about being up, because you're going to have to come down. And if you have to come down, if you're down, don't get too depressed about it, because you're going to go up again. You know, everybody knows that. Anybody ever read those these machines they have for bicycle and jogging machines, you know? So they have a screen there and you can choose. So if you choose a really hard one, it's hilly, you know, and there's a steep hill and it gets really hard, that the machine makes it really hard. And then you coast down the other side and then there's another, then it's flat for a while. But that's life. Sometimes everything seems good, but if we get too excited about it, then I had that experience so much in Africa. It just, the roads are really bad there. Indian roads are great. Indian roads are fantastic. But there'll be a highway, because years ago the American oil companies built some highways, but nobody took care of them. So you'd be driving along and think, oh, this is a really nice highway, you know. And then all of a sudden the car slams on the brakes and swerves over here up to off the road, because there's a hole like Grand Canyon in front of you, or they have to drive through something like that, and or you just have to stop. And then you think, well, this is really horrible, this is terrible, you know. And then after a little while, it's nice again. So you can't get, you know, there's no use getting attached. That's what Krishna means by equal in happiness and distress, equal in honor and dishonor. It just comes and goes. If we go for book distribution, then we especially, right? I experienced so many times. In Japan, I didn't speak very good the language. I understood a few things. So some people would start screaming and say, this is illegal, and everyone hates that you do this, and you shouldn't be here, and, you know, and then, okay, you know, you can't get too excited about it. Sometimes you just excuse me and move away. They don't often call the police, but then the next person will be really nice, and they'll say, Taihin desne, means like, this must be really hard. Gambate, you know, keep it up. This is really good. It's great that you're doing. We love it, you know. So which are you going to get attached to? Because if you get attached to the nice guy, then when the bad guy comes, you're just going to say, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to do this anymore. And if you get attached to the bad guy, you know, you'll think there's no nice guys. But you just have to take it. That's why in all traditions, begging for monks is not for money. It's a sadhana. To learn humility, tolerance, because you get all kinds of treatment. You know, some people just get all excited. I'm in Fiji, you know, there's a lot of Hindus. So we were going door to door, and I remember one family, oh, Hare Krishna, we're also Hindus. Please come in. Are you hungry? Please take this, you know. And they start cooking in the back, and you know, before you can think, you're serving a feast out. And then the next house says, we're Hindus, and Hare Krishna, get out of here. We don't like Hare Krishna. Okay, what's what? Who's a Hindu? You know, you can't say, well, excuse me, but the other people think you're... They just have these ideas. So equal in happiness and distress. It's a rough road, the winding road, you know. The Beatles had a song, and it's a long and winding road, you know. Should have been about Krishna, but, you know, to get to Krishna, yeah, lots of twists and turns. To get to the top of a mountain, you know, it's right? The roads sometimes go downhill and up and down. Like if you walk up Tirupati, it's just up, 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 you know, with these little 2 meter straight flat places, and then another stairs, another one. Finally, it's level. And then you go down a little bit, and then all of a sudden there's more stairs, and then somehow you get to the top. And then we had to wait another 3 or 4 hours for darshan, because we didn't know you could register at the bottom, you know. So when you get to the top, you're first in line. But it's worth it, because you're going to see Krishna. So people, they want to go to the top of Mount Everest. They have to pay so much money for training for 1 year, and set up so many camps along the way. And 90% don't make it, one reason or another. And that's just the top of a little mountain, you know. We're trying to get to Goloka Vrindavan, so don't, you know. Prabhupada said a preacher shouldn't expect an easy life, you know. I remember one book I read, in one of the millions of books I read in high school. It's called I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, you know. I can't remember what it's about, but the title is good. I think it's about a mental hospital. Life is rough, you know. I was thinking of books to recommend for our Gurukul kids who think we had special miseries and special sufferings, you know. It's the same old thing for everybody. Growing up is very difficult. There's all kinds of challenges, all kinds of desires come, and you don't know what they are or what to do with them. You're not getting what you want. You don't even know what you want. It's just standard. But, you know, read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we can hopefully become attached to Krishna. Prabhupada has given us, like, everything. So much work he did. Yesterday, I usually get bad news from everywhere, but I called up somebody about another issue, the BBT, and he was really excited. And he said, your zone in Africa is so wonderful. It's so great. I said, what? They distributed so many Bhagavatam sets, and nobody told me. You know, I talk to him all the time. Nobody told me that this devotee from the BBT was there, and they got somebody to sponsor 50 Bhagavatam sets, and they distributed them in very poor countries, you know. I didn't know about it. Nobody told me. And I've been shouting at them for 30 years, you know, distribute books, impossible, impossible, nobody ever. But somehow or other, because they could give them away, but, you know. So this is happening, an incredible thing that people are buying Srimad Bhagavatam sets just in America in parking lots and, you know, house to house, and in India more than anywhere else. So the golden age of Lord Chaitanya is happening, but the Kali Yuga is also marching on, side by side, you know. And if we work as hard as the Kali Yuga agents, then they will become overshadowed. They'll become little specks of dust. They work very hard, untiringly, always planning how to, you know, lust, greed, anger, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, how to promote these things. Experts. And people go for it. That's what people want. But they really want Krishna. People just want love. They want to be happy. So we have to give them our love, give them Krishna's love. Christian preachers in America, what they preach is Jesus loves you. People are unhappy, they're miserable, nobody loves me. You know, how many songs are there? Nobody loves me. I'm all lonely. Jesus loves you. Don't worry. Right? Krishna loves you. You know, Krishna loves you. He doesn't care what you are. He doesn't care what you've done in the past. He doesn't care how much nonsense you are, how low birth you had. I'm proof. You know, he doesn't care. He loves you. And but he wants to help you. You know, if we accept that help, that mercy, then everything becomes glorious. And then other people will be more and more attracted. So thank you all very much for keeping this place going. I see the tour guides are all really nice with everybody and giving people a lot of Krishna Katha. I just talked to Japan. I told them, if all these people, whenever you come to Bombay, you have to come here. Don't just go visit your family and do some business, you know, or go to whatever they go to in Bombay, you know. Come to this place for a couple of days or do punch karma or some of the more difficult ones. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's just a major part of everything of the seven purposes of ISKCON is here. Especially creating holy places of pilgrimage with Krishna's pastimes. This is very important. Not easy to duplicate, but it can be done in smaller ways, you know. Like all our temples in Bombay, they have all the Krishna Leela in the wall, you know, in the temple room, and all around. And give people a chance to think of Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. People complain why you have so many rules and regulations. So a lot of our young preachers, they say they don't want to bring people to the temple because somebody will say, oh, you ate mustard seeds on Ekadasi, or, you know. I was in one temple in Singapore. They're all South Indians. And it was Ekadasi. So you know how devotees cook, like, really heavy on Ekadasi? Like, really heavy things, you know, tapioca and, you know, fried peanuts and, you know. So there was some soup from the day before. And I looked at the soup, you know, completely plain. And the devotee, you can't take that, you can't take that, it's Ekadasi. I said, what do you mean? He said, it has cumin seed. That's a grain? I didn't know that. But, you know, we had to be careful. Someone put up a quote, you know, from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, that anybody who eats anything on this Ekadasi is stabbing Krishna in the throat or something, you know. These are very crazy statements, but who knows what they're for, but they're not for Vaishnavas. You know, you can't say eating prasadam on Ekadasi, you're going to go to hell for 20 million lifetimes or something. But, you know, chant more. Don't eat grains, because it's a problem. But even Prabhupada said, okay, next day you can. So it's, the rules and regulations ultimately is remember Krishna, don't forget Krishna. We have to follow basic things, but we can't be fanatically, when every guest comes, tell them the 64 offenses, you know. It comes later. Let them read the book, you know. They can skip over that part. But, all right, so thank you very much. I don't know. What comments anybody has? They want to help me out? Thank you for coming. I know everybody's busy, and also I have to really admire anybody who chanted so much yesterday, right? Today? Visvarupa Mahotsav. Okay, we don't know anything about Vishwarup taking sannyas. He just left, you know. If he had a, you know, because he can find any sannyasi and ask him to, you know. So he just disappeared from Navadvip. Prabhupada, we know much more about it. It's very mysterious, the way Prabhupada talks about it. It's many times in conversation, you know, classes, conversations, very early time. And he was saying, because his household life was not nice. His wife and the oldest son especially, they were never happy. They wanted him to make a lot of money. They were saying he's too much spiritual. He would have people over for, you know, satsang, and they wouldn't come. But then he says, I was having dreams. My guru was asking me to take sannyas. And he was thinking, no, 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 how can I leave my family? You know, he did really try to support his family. He made many businesses. He tried to help the sons in business. They weren't inclined. Tried to get the daughter married. She rejected everybody. You know, it wasn't like a bed of roses, you know. And he said he was scared, you know, I don't want that. And then he did leave, and he didn't take sannyas, but he was vanaprastha. And devotees from the temples where he went, they said he just chanted all day, you know, when he first went. And then he ended up in that jhansi, and he tried to start his movement. And that got taken away from him. You know, it was going all right. He started the League of Devotees. The Seven Purposes are very similar when he started ISKCON. So he had a Chaitanya deity there. He took that deity with him to Mathura, and he was staying in Keshava Pragya's temple for a while. He donated his deity. And then he was living in Vrindavan, different places, and he got those rooms at Radha Damodar. But he was Abhay Baba, he wasn't a sannyasi. But evidently he was quite connected with Keshava Pragya, his godbrother. And he knew he wanted to go to America. He was encouraging him. And he said, you know, Abhay Baba, you know, if you want to go preach, you have to take sannyas. And he said at the same time, his guru was coming in the dream. So he finally took sannyas. But then he was such a sannyasi, you know. Like it wasn't like he wasn't a sannyasi who had to have servants and luxury and, you know, fanning him all the time. He was by himself. Everything he did by himself. Nobody would help him. His godbrothers wouldn't help him. They hardly encouraged him. But he did everything. He got the books translated, got them printed somehow or other. Somehow in a great struggle, got himself to America by himself with no money. He did have money when he got inside America because he sold the books to the captain of the ship. And I heard it different ways, but Prabhupada asked him when he was getting off, he said, I don't have any money, can you buy these books? And he said, how much are they? There are three books. He said, $15. And then the captain said, I only have $20. The Prabhupada said, I don't have change. So he sold it for $20. And then he had his 40 rupees, which was useless. At that time, 40 rupees would have been like $5 or $6. But you couldn't change them anyway. Nobody ever heard of a rupee. They thought India was just a bunch of insane people that worship cows, you know, Americans. And I'm not kidding, that's how they thought. That's how we were taught. Everyone is starving because they're so stupid, they don't kill all those cows, and they worship cows, they're really stupid. They believe in many, many gods, and it's the worst place in the world. But then we got a little attracted because we these yogis, far out yogis were coming a little. But nobody knew, you know. Same thing Africa, all we knew was Tarzan. When Chuti Prabhu went to Africa, he was shocked that there was a city, you know. It's supposed to be only jungle, only people with bows and arrows and, you know, fighting with each other all the time. No clothes. That's what we saw. National Geographic also. They always had articles about the Africans and South America, and only the jungle people, you know, they're still there, those tribes. They never told you there's cities and people and businesses, and only America was good. Anyway, Prabhupada, he obviously had sannyas mentality all the time because he was totally absorbed. And from the time he met Bhaktisiddhanta, he was always meditating how to fulfill that. He was writing articles. He was thinking what he could do. He couldn't pull it off right away, but he, you know, then he started back to Godhead while he was a householder. Had to fight for that also to even get paper from the government. But he took sannyas. It was a small ceremony. It was another godbrother at the same time. And you could see he looked very powerful, very happy. And then he was different. He was Maharaj. He was sannyas. All right, so that's what we know of him. But sannyas means everything for Krishna. I can tell us. Prabhupada's older son, he tried to sue the whole movement that everything belonged to him. And his argument was that Prabhupada wasn't really a sannyasi. He didn't take sannyas from Bhaktisiddhanta. So we went to one lawyer, and he was a Jain young guy. He was a little puffed up. And he was like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And he took this petition. He said, I'll read it. And the next day, he was like furious, angry. And he said, how can he say that Bhaktivedanta was not a sannyasi? This is demoniac. I will destroy this guy. Everybody knows that Prabhupada was, you know, nobody, there's never been a sannyasi like Prabhupada. Because most of them had a pretty sheltered life, even if they, of course, Ramanuja had trouble. That king wanted to kill him, and people tried to different things. But mostly they had their followers. They lived quite separate from the hellish part of society. You know, Prabhupada was right in the middle of everything and not never disturbed, you know. Standing in line for the toilet, you know, with the devotees that were traveling with him. Because only one bathroom and two rooms. Either Prabhupada had to walk through them or they had to walk through him, you know. And it never disturbed. He just kept translating and engaging everybody. And gradually just handled so much money without ever getting attached. Because the BBT started bringing in so much money. And Prabhupada would just go through the letters and say, okay, Mexico has some land, give them a loan, send this much money there, send it here, they want to build a temple here, and Tamal Krishna wants buses, give him the money. You know, never give me anything. Gradually devotees learned to take care of him, but in the beginning they didn't. He cooked, he served the devotees, and he cleaned up. And the devotees just came and ate and left. They never thought Prabhupada needed help. He washed his own clothes. He went out by himself on the subway to meet people. New York City. So that's Prabhupada. We can't imitate. Some tried to imitate his later years. We should imitate his younger years. When he was totally helpless, could only depend on Krishna. But he just kept going. He was renounced. Total sannyas. Perfect. Okay? Anyone else? All right. Radha Vrindavan Bihari Ki Jai, Radha Vrindavan Mohan Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. I really appreciate the way you address Lord Chaitanya here. I don't know if you noticed, but if you, he always has dhoti, almost. Many temples, he doesn't. Prabhupada, one, a couple letters. One, he said, I've seen your pictures of Gaur Nitai, they're very nice. But I'm seeing he's wearing pants. And they are gentlemen of Bengal. He should wear a dhoti. So, it's very nice. Very beautiful. The pujaris are really good. Everything is really good. All right, and the sound system is very good also. In Japan, the sound system is always breaking. It doesn't work. The highest tech place, you know, the microphone doesn't work or something. And nobody knows what to do. All right. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prithu Maharaj ki jai. Archie Devi ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hari Hari Gaur.
Zulinez Kavichandra Swami Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna. Actually, we got to. Sorry, want to say something?
You want, yeah, do whatever you want.
Sorry?
What do you want to do? You have announcements?
Yeah.
I apologize, I couldn't read. So good. Usually I have my phone and I can read very easily. Because I do know how to read, you know, I'm pretty good. I was always number one in reading in school. But the italics, I can't see it, even with these number 3.5 glasses. Unless I have a light. And my battery was dead, so I had to stumble over the words like an illiterate. I do know how to read, though. Pretty good. All right.
Hare Krishna, it's our great honor and privilege to have Maharaj here in Gaurdaniko village. Actually, Maharaj very kind enough to interact with many of our devotees. You know, anybody want to speak to any, you know, Maharaj, he can walk freely, he can go and meet Maharaj. Maharaj very freely also speak and give guidance. And so amazing to see the wonderful examples. Actually, these kind of wonderful examples are very, very rare. Manushyanam Sagasreshu. Actually, we have with us Maharaj. Maharaj so senior. And we have many disciples in Indonesia and Japan. And I got some association of those disciples also when I was in Melbourne, Australia. They speak so much glories about Maharaj. Actually, we may not know about Maharaj so much here in Mumbai, India, especially. They have Maharaj spread so many, preached to so many people, and cultivated many devotees. They become very sincere followers of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada. And we're happy to have Maharaj here, and we get to hear from him so many times. That is also opulence for us. And we thank Maharaj for coming and being here with us. And we request Maharaj, whenever you visit India, please visit Govardhanik village whenever you get time. It's our happy to and honor to have you in Govardhanik village. Let us thank Maharaj for visiting us, and we express our gratitude to Maharaj by loudly chanting Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Hari Hari. How do you escape from the